Genesis chapter 40, in fact, the entire story involving Joseph and his sale into slavery and his going to prison and all of the interpretation of the dream, all of these things that happened in his life, some amazing things that happened to him. And as we look at this story, as we look at these events that take place in chapter 40, I want us to think about what Romans 8:28 says. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. The question is, do we believe that? In the prayer this evening, John spoke of our faith and our trust in God. And what, do we really believe that if we'll love Him, if we'll trust Him, that He'll take care of us, that all things will work together for good? Now, it doesn't say that everything that happens is good. It just says that everything that does happen will work together for good. And we have to trust God, even during those times when things don't seem to be going the way we think they should. Even during those difficult times, we've got to trust that He has a plan and He's working on it. And as we look at Genesis chapter 40, we see God's providence at work, with the possible exception of Joseph's interpretation of the two dreams. With the possible exception of that, nothing miraculous happens in Joseph's life here in Egypt. There's nothing miraculous here. It's all God's providence working. With the possible exception of Joseph interpreting these dreams, that there's nothing. God doesn't come and part a Red Sea. He doesn't create anything. He doesn't cause it. It's just God's providence at work. And one of the things that makes that so special to us today is that that's where we live. We live with God's providence. No miracles. No miraculous big events taking place. Just God working things out behind the scenes. And we're going to see exactly how He did that in Joseph's life. And we'll look at that in detail as we go along. Remember that Joseph was sent to prison because Potiphar's wife lied about him, set him up, then lied about him, got him thrown in prison. But even in prison, the keeper of the prison quickly moved him up to the point where he was over everything in the prison pretty much. The jailer was, you know, just sitting back taking it easy and letting Joseph run the place. And so it was that in chapter 40, we find Joseph still in prison. We don't know how long he's been in prison. Could have been a month, could have been a year, could have been 5 years. It just doesn't tell. It just says it came to pass after these things. So he's been in there a while, long enough to be in that position where he's taking care of everything in the prison. And during that time, the butler, which is similar to a cupbearer, similar to the position that Nehemiah held, if you ever look into the book of Nehemiah, that's what Nehemiah did. He served the king, and that this cupbearer, this butler, I know we don't have butlers here in America, but I guess over in England they still have butlers. But this is his job, to serve the king, Pharaoh in this case, the king of Egypt, and his baker, the chief butler and the chief baker. They were the heads over the others that were on their staff. He got angry at them. They offended him in some way. It's not specific. It doesn't tell us whether they were guilty of it or if he just, you know, maybe had a bad temper and got mad at them. But he was angry and he threw them into prison. He threw them into the prison where Joseph was. There are so many things as we look at this, that so many steps along the way where this series of events didn't have to happen the way it happened, but it did. And we think about God's providence, we think about that being the way it works. So here they are in the prison, and in verse 4, we see that Joseph is put in charge of them. The jailer makes it Joseph's duty to take care of these two new prisoners that they have. And it's interesting, it says that he served them. You don't usually think about prisoners having servants, but these were high-ranking prisoners. These were political prisoners of the soldiers. I guess they had a higher status than the others, but Joseph had to serve them. He had to take care of them, make sure they got their food and various things throughout the day. And we don't know how long this lasted. It lasted for a season that this was the circumstance. Now, by season, that doesn't necessarily mean like winter, spring, summer, fall. It just means for a period of time. For a while, this was the way it was. And then, after a while, one night, these two individuals each had a dream. And each dream was unique. It wasn't, no, we had the same dream. No, they each had their own dream. And the next morning when Joseph comes in to take care of them, he sees that they're sad. Now that doesn't seem that unusual to me. I don't know about you, but I would think if I were in jail, being sad would be kind of a natural reaction to that circumstance. But maybe they were more sad than usual. Whatever it was, Joseph was perceptive enough and observant enough to notice that this wasn't just the regular woe is me, I'm in jail kind of sadness, that there was something more going on. In addition to being concerned enough about it and noticing it, he also was kind enough to care what was wrong with them and to ask them what was wrong. Now, remember, here's a man. He's been stolen away from home, sold into slavery, falsely accused, and thrown in prison. He's got enough problems of his own, but he's still compassionate and caring about other people. And so he asks them, what's wrong? Why are you so sad today? Verse number 8. We see the reason they're sad is because they don't have anybody to interpret their dreams for them. Now, we might think that's a little odd. We don't generally go around asking people to interpret our dreams, but dreams and dream interpretation was a big deal at this time. Remember, that's one of the things that got Joseph into trouble in the first place, was his dreams that got his brothers even more and more mad at him because he wouldn't keep them to himself. And that's one of the reasons they wound up selling him off. He's lucky even to be alive. They wanted to kill him at first. And so Joseph hears about this, that they're sad, they don't have anybody to interpret the dreams they've had, and so he offers to listen to their dreams, and he reminds them that God can give the interpretation of a dream, that God knows what those dreams meant. And then he asks them to please let him hear their dreams. Let him listen to what they had going on in their dreams. And we already know that he is an accomplished dream interpreter because he's been interpreting his own dreams for quite a while. Now again, whether this is a miraculous ability like Daniel had to be able to truly interpret a dream, or whether he's just good at it, isn't really clear in the text other than what he says about God, that interpretations come from God. But whether this is something miraculous or whether this is just a gift that God blessed him with, we don't really know. But at any rate, this is quite possibly the only miraculous thing that occurs in this particular setting, is his ability to interpret these dreams. You'll notice there at the end when he asks them to tell the dreams, it says in the King James particularly, it says, I pray thee. Tell me your dreams, I pray thee. Now this, when we read that phrase, sometimes we see that in the, well, why are you praying to another person? It's not that type of prayer. It basically just means the same thing as if we were to say, please, please tell me your dreams. Or, I'm begging you, do this for me. I'm asking you. And so sometimes when we see the phrase, somebody praying in that respect, it doesn't mean praying like we pray to God. So we want to keep that in mind. But the butler goes first, the cupbearer. And his dream, of course, is appropriate for a butler. His dream is about a vine. And on this vine, there are three branches on this vine. And on these three branches, some buds come out, leaves, then flowers. Then after the flowers, you get the clusters and the grapes begin to ripen and the grapes get ripe. And then he said, then he has Pharaoh's cup is in his hand, and so he squeezes those grapes, squeezes the juice into the cup, and then he takes the cup and gives it to Pharaoh. Well, anybody want to interpret that one for us? It doesn't seem real hard. I mean, it wasn't real difficult. It didn't sound like something out of Revelation. I mean, you just got a cup and some grapes and things. It's not real complicated, maybe. Remember, of course, that probably if you read through here before, you've read the interpretation to this dream, or you've heard the interpretation before. So when you already know, it's kind of easy to interpret it. That's the kind of thing we do with the disciples sometimes. Jesus will tell a parable, and the disciples don't know what it means, and we think, well, why don't you guys know what it means? Well, we wouldn't know either, except we've already read the interpretation. And so we already know what that parable meant. Well, the same thing with this. If we've already read what the dream means, it's easy for us to say, well, why'd they need somebody to interpret that? That's easy. It's obvious what that means. But I bet if you're anything like me, you've had some dreams on occasion that were really weird and that didn't make a bit of sense to you. A lot of times I don't remember dreams, but when I do, they don't make any sense. You know, I turn into a dog and chase a car or, you know, something. And, I mean, you know, it's just all sorts of crazy things happen in dreams. And you never know, you know, was that supposed to mean something? And that's what these guys are wanting. Maybe these things mean something. Well, in their case, they did mean something. Most of our dreams, we've come to accept that we are beyond the miraculous time where God spoke to people in dreams. And our dreams are just that. They're just dreams. But at this time, God still spoke to people through dreams. And so their dreams actually do mean something. And in fact, their dreams have a specific purpose to get Joseph to interpret them so that they'll be able to do what they need to do next. It's amazing the way God works behind the scenes. Why did they have these dreams this particular time while they're in the prison? Why didn't they have these dreams before they got cast in prison? Or why not have a dream after they got out of prison? The only reason they had these dreams now was because there was Joseph and God wanted to use this situation. It's a perfect example of God's providence at work here. But here we go. The butler's dream, he shared it with Joseph, and so in verse 12, Joseph begins to interpret it. And he gets the toughest part of the dream first. I mean, I can pretty much get what the grapes squeezing the juice into the cup and giving the cup to Pharaoh. I mean, that sounds pretty straightforward to me. How about you? But what are those three branches? Does that mean something? Is it significant that there were three branches? What is it? And so Joseph attacks that part first. He says those three branches are 3 days. Now it's not 3 weeks, not 3 months, not 3 years, not some vague thing like fortune tellers give. Well, sometime in the future, he says in 3 days, this is going to happen. That's why there were three branches. It's to signify the 3 days. And so he says, in these 3 days, here's what's going to happen. It's just like the rest of the dream says. You're going to get your job back. You're going to, again, be serving Pharaoh his cup. You're going to be his cupbearer again. You're going to be back to your old job. Well, needless to say, that seemed about like what it ought to have been. Well, the baker, hearing this dream interpreted in this good way, he thinks, oh, well, that's good news. I want to tell you my dream too now. And so he begins to tell his dream. His dream is similar. He has three baskets on his head, and they're stacked one on top of each of the other. And in the top basket are all kinds of baked goods. Breads and cakes and who knows what, you know, all the things that Pharaoh loved. And all these baked goods for Pharaoh. But Pharaoh doesn't eat these things, and he doesn't give these things to Pharaoh. Instead, he says, the birds come and eat these baked goods out of that basket on top of his head. And so he says, what does my dream mean? He wants to know that one. Well, so Joseph explains his dream to the baker. He explains that these three baskets are 3 days, just like the three branches were 3 days. But he says in this case, the fact that those birds were eating them was not a good thing. The baker is going to be killed, and his body is going to be hung out, and the birds are going to come and eat his flesh. Not a very pleasant interpretation. Now, if he'd have started with that one first, the butler would have probably said, well, I don't want to know what mine means then. Just don't tell me. You ever notice with a lot of the fortune tellers, they always tell him everything's always going to be good? Well, you know, everything can't always going to be good for everybody. Bad things happen to people sometimes. You never hear somebody went to the fortune teller and the fortune teller told them, well, you know, this bad thing and this bad thing and this bad thing is going to happen. People don't want to hear the bad things. They always want to hear the good things. And so they always tell them the good things. But here Joseph, after giving the butler his interpretation, he asked for a favor in return. He said, when you get back your job, talk to Pharaoh about me. Tell him I'm down here. Tell him I don't deserve to be here. Tell him that I was stolen away from home and I was sold into slavery. Now I'm not supposed to even be in here because I didn't do anything. What a surprise. Another innocent person in prison. Well, run into a lot of innocent folks in jail over the years. But this case, he really was innocent. He hadn't done anything. But here he was. He was in jail and he was said, please, tell Pharaoh so he can get me released from prison. Well then, 3 days pass. That third day, it's Pharaoh's birthday. This is, by the way, the first mention of a birthday celebration in the Bible. Pharaoh had a birthday. And he had a big celebration. He had a big feast. And at the feast that he had, he got his chief baker and his chief butler that had been in prison, and he picked them out of all of the servants, and he did just what Joseph said was going to happen. He gave the butler his job back, and he killed the baker. Just like Joseph had said. Unfortunately for the baker, fortunately for the butler. But, here's the thing. The butler forgot all about Joseph. Forgot about him. After all those good things, just 3 short days to forget the guy. Some friend you are. Fair weather friend, I guess. But really, it's a good thing he did. Let's think about some steps along this path that we've gotten to. Let's go back even to before Joseph was in prison. What if Jacob had not favored Joseph and caused the brothers to be envious of him? What if Joseph had kept his dreams to himself and not incited his brothers' wrath even more? What if the brothers had killed him like their original plan was? Or what if Reuben had been able to rescue Joseph like his plan was? What if Joseph had not been sold to the Ishmaelites that were heading down? What if the caravan he was sold to had been going a different direction? What if it had been coming back from Egypt instead of on its way to Egypt? What if someone farther from Pharaoh had bought him? Someone who wasn't one of Pharaoh's close inner circles like Potiphar was, who was the head of his guards, captain of the guards. What if he had been sold before they even got to Egypt, and he was sold to someone else along the way? What if, after arriving in Egypt and being sold to Potiphar's household, what if he had remained in Potiphar's good favor? Or what if he had been found out a little sooner and what if Potiphar's wife had lied about him sooner and had gotten Potiphar upset at him sooner, and he had been sent to prison earlier. Or maybe later, and missed the time that the baker and butler were in prison. What if Potiphar had had him executed instead of putting him in prison? What if Potiphar had put him in a different prison than the one that he did? What if the baker, well, he's just there. What if the butler had been put in a different prison from the one where Joseph was, and they had never met up? What if the baker and butler had not offended Pharaoh and never been put in prison? Or what if he had simply executed them when he was mad at them at the time, instead of putting them in the prison? What if Joseph hadn't been elevated in his position in the prison? I mean, if he's over there in that cell, and they're over there in that cell, and they never get to see each other, he never gets to interpret their dreams. What if he hadn't been given the responsibility of the baker and the butler? We don't know how large this prison was, but what if Joseph was on that wing over there, and the baker and butler were on this wing over here, and he never met them? What if he hadn't noticed that they were sadder than usual? What if, even though he did notice, what if he hadn't asked them why they were sad? What if when he asked them, they had said, "Nah, it's nothing you can help us with," and brushed him off? What if they hadn't remembered their dreams? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I always remember all my dreams. In fact, I'm pretty sure I probably don't remember most of them. And even the ones I wake up thinking about, you know, a few minutes later, I've completely forgotten most of the important parts of that dream. If you can say there's anything important about a dream in the first place. But there was about these dreams. They were real important. But what if they had forgotten them? What if they didn't remember them? What if they woke up and didn't remember the dream that they had had? What if both the dreams had meant death? What if Joseph had been told the bad dream first, and then the butler didn't want to tell his dream, and so he never got the interpretation? What if Joseph just didn't interpret their dreams for them? Or what if he did interpret it, but he kept it to himself and didn't tell them? What if one or all three had gotten sick or died even in the... I mean, you're in a prison. It's not the most hygienic place. I mean, a lot of diseases in prisons and things, especially back in those days before modern cleaning techniques and things. What if one or all of them had died before that day came? What if Joseph had been sick the day they had their dreams and didn't get to talk to them that day? Didn't see them that day? What if the butler had remembered Joseph the day he got out of prison and talked to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh freed Joseph and Joseph went back home? We say, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? No. It wouldn't have been wonderful. It was a good thing the butler forgot him. It was a good thing. Every step of this is leading to one point. Remember, we talked about the fact that the Bible is God's story. He's the central character. And the Old Testament in particular, the story of this line, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the story of this line is all about God bringing His Messiah into the world that He promised way back in Genesis chapter 3. And this is His way of getting Him there. But all of these things, and you say, wait a minute, Joseph isn't even in the line of Christ. Yeah, but Judah, his brother, is. And we're going to see in chapter 41 and following just how important it was that all of these things happened the way they happened. Just so. It's amazing how precisely God works His providence. Even though he's using, he's got to take all of these different people that are involved, and yet all of it coordinated to happen just at the right time, just in the right way, the right people being in the right place. Do you realize how complex this is? It's in some ways kind of like a director directing a play on stage. And you know, this, you've got to be here at this time. You come in and this is what you say and this is what you say. And I don't want to give us the impression that God writes our lines for us and makes us say things, or that it's all fate and we don't have any choice. That's not the point. That's not what I'm trying to get. But understand in a play just how complex it is and how much work and how many practices and rehearsal and dress rehearsal and they have to have to get it just right. And then guess what? Opening night, they usually mess something up, don't they? I mean, somebody flubs their line. Somebody's not where they're supposed to be and all that. Well, guess what? When God is working through His providence, first of all, unlike that director who tells everybody, okay, here's what I want you to do and I want you to do, God didn't tell any of these people what He wanted them to do. He just knew this is going to work out. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and he didn't tell them, okay, you go here and you go there. He didn't tell any of them any of those things. He wasn't like a director in a play in that sense. And yet, he only had one try to get it right. I mean, if Joseph misses this chance with the butler, it's all over. If Joseph wasn't in Egypt, it's all over. This is his plan. He's got to do it the way it's supposed to go. And he's got to get it right the first time. And he's got to do it with human beings who don't know what he wants accomplished. And it's probably a good thing they didn't, because if they knew, they'd be contrary enough to just try to mess up his plan, wouldn't they? A lot of human beings are that way. He's got to work through sinful ones. He's got to work through greed and envy, and got to work through, you know, people like Potiphar's wife who wanted to seduce Joseph. And he's got to deal with all of that and get it to work out the way he wants it to. Now you think about God's providence and how powerful He is to be able to get those things to work out the way they're supposed to work out. And yet, not just in Joseph's life, but he always does. Remember Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. He always gets it to work. It may not be the nicest trip. It may not have been the way we wanted to get there. But he always works things out for those who love him. And Joseph was one who loved him. Remember we talked about last week why Joseph said that he couldn't sleep with Potiphar's wife? Didn't have anything to do with him or her or Potiphar. He said, how could I do this and sin against God? He loved God. Notice here in the prison, he gives God, don't the interpretations of dreams, don't those interpretations belong to God? He again gives the credit to God. He loves God. And because he loves God, God will work things out for good for him. Not just for him, but for his whole family. And we'll look into that a little further next week. But you know, it's an amazing thing. We don't really trust God like that, do we? We think, well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to go take care of this, and I got to fix it myself. Instead of trusting God to do it. If He promised us that if we will love Him, He will work it out for good for us. But instead, we got to go trying to fix His plan, which probably makes it twice as hard for Him to work it out for good for us. Because then He's got to come up with a whole other way of getting us back where we were supposed to be in the first place. Because we fight against His plan. We fight against Him every step of the way. God's providence is an amazing thing. And as Christians, we need to trust that providence. You know, it's amazing. In God's providence, He even works through people who aren't Christians. He works through Christians to get to people who aren't Christians, to get them to become Christians. But we've got to do our part. Look at Joseph. Joseph could easily have just ignored those two guys as just two more prisoners, just one more burden on me, one more thing I got to take care of, one more thing I got to do. But he didn't. He cared about them. He showed concern for them. He tried to help them. He was kind. He was friendly. And we need to be the kind of person that can draw other people to Christ. Just like Joseph. Those people opened up to him. Because he was available and he was the kind of person that could be trusted to open up to. We've got to strive to be that kind of person as well so that God can use us even better. So that He can take advantage of the situations in our lives even more. And through His providence, He can bring other people to Christ. Tonight, perhaps you've been fighting against God. Perhaps you've been looking for your own way to deal with everything instead of trusting Him. Now, trusting Him doesn't mean that you just go home and sit on the couch and wait for everything good to happen. There's still certain things that He tells us that we're supposed to do. There's certain activities that we're supposed to be involved in, certain actions we're supposed to take. But if we want something bad enough, He'll let us have it, even if it's not good for us. If we love it more than we love Him, He'll let us have it. He won't force us against our will. We've got to be open to Him. We've got to open up our lives to Him and let Him work in our lives. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, let Him work in your life. Let Him have you. And let Him work things together for good for you. Love Him enough that you will come to Him in obedience, that you will believe in Jesus as the Christ, and repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah that came to save you from your sins, and be buried with Him in baptism to wash those sins away. And then He'll begin working things out for you too in your life. If you're a Christian here tonight, and perhaps you've been trying to do it all on your own. The old saying, let go and let God. We can't work it. We could never manipulate all the people to do the things that in this story of Joseph. We could never manipulate all the people. We could never get them to do what we wanted them to do. But God will work it out if we will come to Him and trust Him. If you have a need to respond tonight for whatever reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.